Mayan have been around for a long time in different places. They've known, you know, been running a ministerial organization and everything else, and never seen so regularly. There are working things just about every Sunday. And I'm really grateful to him because it's what he's doing. It's not us. You know, and it's the way he's guiding us. I want to see more of that. I want to see him doing greater things. And he said that, you know, greater things than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. And I expect that to see it happening in our midst. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for, Lord, your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the time you're going to spend together to it. Lord, just quicken to us the truth, that we may be able, Lord, to receive it, and we may be able, Lord, to make it part of our life, to guide us, strengthen us, and empower us, Lord, to manifest your truth in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So really, the topic, the series we've been looking at is already, I was looking, it was already 14 or 15 weeks that we've been going on this. It's a long time for a series. I think I might make a book at the end of this, and it's going to be a long book. But I don't know if that's really the order, organization, the way I want to use it. But really, you know, this is one of the most important topic, the one important concept for us to receive in our life. You know, this is where God wants to bring us in terms of manifesting the reality of He dwelling in us, of His presence in us, and the way it affects our behavior and our attitude, our actions, everything. And our ability to minister to others. You know, this was prophesied in the Old Testament, but wasn't as clear as it came up in the New Testament and was expanded. And really, the best scripture in the Old Testament describing what God wanted to do is in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, where it says, "I will give you a new heart, and put you a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk," and this is the thing, is "cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them." You know, really, this was probably one of the most exciting prophecies in the Old Testament. If you don't, you know, the other one was about Jesus being the Messiah and taking, you know, the impact that would do through his life, death, and resurrection in Isaiah 53, and all the atonement and the transformation of the atonement in the redemption on the New Testament. Okay, that were probably the two top, from my point of view, revelations that God opened up to us in the Old Testament. Now, you know, doesn't stop there. See, everything that happens after, everything that happened after Jesus came and died for us and was resurrected, everything that took place there, okay, that was really for us. Jesus did all these things so that we may be able to come into a place in which we fully benefit for everything that he did for us. And everything that he did, and all the suffering that he did, and all the, you know, all the, what he spent the time doing on earth, that was the purpose was bringing us to the place in which we will be operating the way he operated on earth. See that scripture, John chapter 14, it says, you know, "The works that I do you shall do also, and greater work than this shall you do, because I go to my Father." Although he's been, you know, always got put on the side and said, well, you know, that doesn't mean whatever. It means exactly what it says. And God wants to see this happening. And he's going to bring it to happen in the times that is closed by now. I believe that we are coming close to the timing with Jesus coming back. And we are going to see that manifested before he comes. Because this is the church he's going to come to. Not a church that is weakly and pushed around by the enemy, but a church that is able to stand against the forces of darkness and going to be able to kick down the gates of hell. We haven't seen that in general yet. We have been seeing actually from the great, in great extent, the fact that the church has been retreating and becoming smaller and weaker as time went by. Because the beliefs have been made, you know, that what the most people believe are things, doctrines of men, instead of going to the Bible and seeing what the Bible says. And believing what the Bible says, if you like it or not. If you are comfortable with it or not. If you are able to do what it says or not. Because it doesn't matter what you can do, is what he can do that makes a difference. Are you following me? You see, this is where what Jesus is the most important thing. You know, you through the history of the church, and I believe, you know, understanding the history of the church is very important because they give us a perspective of where we are, where we have been, and the things that are going to be taking place, and the way God works in the whole world. It works through us, and the way he works with us. And the way he actually does things, and he's not men's organizations or denominations or groups. He transcends these human things and limitations to get to a place in which he is actually orchestrating through his Holy Spirit what is happening. And you know, if you look at sometimes things, they may not appear that good. It didn't appear that good when Jesus was crucified. But they all, you know, in that dark day, the greatest things that ever happened before took place. So you cannot look at things with the eyes of man. You have to look at things with the eyes of God. And that's what he's doing to us today. He's opening our eyes so that we can see and understand more than what, you know, history has ever seen before. See, the veil is being taken off. Praise the Lord. And we want to see that more and more happening. See, it's not a question of just doing a Bible study and getting information about the Bible. See, that is not enough. It's not a question of going to a meeting and get a good time and get blessed or whatever it is, or just get religious. It's a question of applying and implementing the word inside you. Putting the word to work in your life so that the transformation takes place. See, it's transformation, metamorphosis, the way the word used in Greek for that. The renewal of the mind that has to take place where the things really start happening. And really the ideas that we've been sharing with you that are actually not my ideas, I'm just reading scriptures. Just the ideas that the Bible shows us, that when we accept them and we implement them in our life, they are powerful and they are able to transform us and empower us and enable us to operate in a way that is not human anymore, but is supernatural. God is a supernatural God. He's not limited by nature. And his word is not limited by our understanding and our nature and our limitations. And when we let it loose inside us, then we are going to experience the reality of the power of God even within ourselves. That's what makes a big difference. You know, Jesus said, you know, it's profitable for me to go, you know, in John 16, verse 17, you know, so that I can send you the helper. See, the helper is been sent. He's arrived. You know, he's arrived 2,000 years ago, day of Pentecost. They came down with power, and Jesus said, wait until, don't do anything. And lots of people, they start doing things before they are ready for it. You have to be ready. You have to be prepared. You have to be equipped. And this is what the Holy Spirit is the job to do, is to guide you and to equip you to do the things that you have to do. But, you know, he's not going to force you to do those things. And you have to move into that dimension. Through experience, through be opening. First of all, you had to get the information, so you had to go to the Word. But, you know, you can go to the, but most of the people just do a Bible study. A Bible study is not enough. That's just the beginning. It's like getting into the door. If you don't do anything with what you studied and you apply it practically in your life, you are not going to see any manifestation. And actually, you are going to deceive yourself, because that's what the Bible says. Unless you are a doer of the Word, you are going to deceive yourself. Why? Because what happens is you have mental knowledge and not any corresponding experience of the change and the power that that knowledge should bring about, because you didn't put it to work. And unfortunately, that's the common thing. And even the people that try to do it, often they do it the wrong way. They try to do it out of their own abilities and experience, out of their own decision, without going through the process that God has established for us to follow. See, the scripture I read before, and this was so much in that scripture in Ezekiel, you know, I'll put my spirit within you and will cause you to walk in my statutes. You see, it's not that we're doing it. It's his spirit that empowers, motivates us, guides us, and equips us to do the things that we need to do, so that we don't need to be making an effort in doing these things, but we are just moving from the inside out. And what we are doing is allowing the Spirit to come out of us to bring life to others. Praise the Lord. That has to happen when your mind is renewed. And your mind is renewed when you apply the Word to your own life. You had to do it to be able to have an effect on you, not just study it. So this is what the process that actually God is putting into motions for us, so that we can move into that experience and abilities and success and victories in the world, even, because he's working in us. It's his life. It's his love. It's his power. It's his healing. It's everything that, touches all the areas of our life and gives us victory. God is not a loser. All right? He always wins. Greater is he who is in us than who is in the world. Amen? So if he's greater, he is not going to be defeated by the weaker. All right? When we are defeated, is because we are not allowing the greater one in us to be acting and operating through us, and we are trying to do it in our own strength, which is really weak. You see, this is the scripture that often is misinterpreted. You know, in my weakness is his strength. Doesn't mean that because, you know, we are weak, you know, we are going to be strong. It means that we, because we are weak and we realize that we are weak, then we allow him to take our place and to do the work that we should be doing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not that because we are weak, you know, we are just rejoicing because, well, you know, so he can do the work. No, it's that we realize that we need him. And because we realize we need him, then we allow him to be empowering us and we follow him instead of following our own ideas and our own abilities. He's the one equipping us. And this is what, you know, when he accepts us as son, I mean, we have to realize the love that he has for us in the fact that when we are born again, everything changes. When we are born again, he accepts us as sons. You know, but even that is not enough. Because yes, that is just the beginning. We just start to see some things. But it's such an important step because if you don't go through the door, you cannot be inside. You need to be born again. You need to receive the Lord as your Savior and Lord. And not just Savior, but Lord too. Because otherwise, you got half of the deal. You see, it's when he becomes Lord that he start to be effective. Because why? What is the business about Lord? You know, the Lord is your boss. He's the one that tells you what to do. He's the one you follow and obey. Obedience is more important than understanding. Obedience is more important than understanding because, you know, you can think you understand, but you really, if you don't obey, you cannot understand it. The thing is, there are some areas in which we are comfortable about obeying and some other areas that we are uncomfortable because our flesh put up resistance for us to be obedient. See, those are the areas in which we need to break through. The areas in which we need, where we are weak, realizing we are weak. That brings that realization that we need his strength. And so these are the areas in which we learn. See, these are the frontal area for progress. If you don't break through the weak areas, you are going to be always the weaker. Your weakness is always the weakest link that you are at, the part that you are weaker. You need to break through those areas by obedience. That means you submit yourself to the Word of God, even if you feel uncomfortable about it, even if your flesh will run away. Amen? Okay, we are there. Good. You know, this is where God wants to bring us. See, and we all have weaknesses. You know, we all are just human. But the Spirit in us is not human, it's the Spirit of God. I mean, we have a spirit too, but there is a Spirit of God inside us that is transferring abilities to our spirit. And that is transferring us to our mind. See, but this is, there is a progress now that has to take place. There is a moving forward. And we can have seen it through the history. You know, there have been periods in which there have been breakthroughs. And the breakthroughs, and then it appears that God is starting to do greater things. And then, you know, the flesh come into the picture and the things kind of disappear, but that doesn't disappear. There always remain a remnant, and that remnant is going to bring it forward again until the end. This is what we are going to see in the happening. But, you know, when we are born again, you see, what happens is that we come to the place in which we are operating not anymore about the Old Testament ways, but according to a New Testament relationship with God. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, and that was a long time ago, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. Hallelujah. So really, you see, that's God's job. It's not ours. We had done nothing to deserve it. But he did, you know, he planned this, organized that, he set it up, he developed to the point that when that was the time of fullness, the fullness of time had come, he could do, and we were redeemed from those who were under the law. So we are not anymore operating under the law. That doesn't mean we go around doing whatever we want or whatever the flesh wants. Because actually, what should happen is that we end up doing whatever we want because we want the things that God wants. See, that's the difference. Because the law, you're there, you know, making a list and ticking off your list to make sure that you fill up all the requirements. But instead, you know, when you are not under the law, but are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit inside you and you are obedient to the Holy Spirit, you are going to fulfill all those points without even thinking about them. You are just yourself. But yourself that is not yourself, the old man, is the new self, the new man. And we're going to talk about new man and old man better. There's some things in the Greek there that are really interesting and I have to share with you sometime. But, so, you know, and because we are son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son unto our heart, crying, Abba, Father. And this is the relationship of love and closeness that has to develop between us and God. That's what makes the difference. That's what empowers us. That's what gives us confidence. That's what makes us not afraid of taking steps and even make mistakes. You know, because you are a son. And that is the difference. When you know that your daddy loves you, even if you make, you know, when you make a mistake, you go to him and he's guiding you to correct you instead of splashing you and squashing you and accusing you and putting you down. But doesn't stop there. You see, the important thing to realize that we have to grow up. That we've just been born again is not enough. Galatians 4:1, that's come before. Do not say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ from a slave or a servant, the way you want to call it, though he is master of all. You see, the thing is, when somebody is a child, does not differ from a servant. When you are a child of God, when you're children of God, you are not going to be very different from an Old Testament person. Because you are still don't know what to do. You haven't got the whole message. You haven't been transformed and empowered by your spirit, so your mind still think as a child. And you had to move from there to grow up. See, and that is where the law comes into the picture. But it's under guardian and steward until the time appointed by the Father. So even when is the time appointed? When you are starting to understand, when you are growing up spiritually, when you are being transformed from the inside through the Word. Crying Abba Father. But is under a guardian and a steward until the time appointed by the Father. And even so then, when we are children, we are in bondage under the element of the world. I mean, all the things that we had to do and not to do. But now it's different. Now we are grown up. Now we are going to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. And really the key things You know, even in the Old Testament was revealed. It's not new in the New Testament, we're going to see it. But, you know, if you read Psalm 1, tells you the whole story. Psalm 1 tells you how to do that. You know, blessed is the man, verse 1, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means, you know, you don't go and ask advice to people that are ungodly. You have to make a decision. You be careful who you ask information from. Doesn't matter the degree that they have. Doesn't matter the, you know, the what people think about them or whatever. You don't go to an ungodly person to ask for direction on your life. You know, lots of Christians go to psychiatrists and psychologists that they are not even saved, and are, you know, they have the highest rate of suicide. That shows how much they know about life. You go to a godly person. There's sometimes, even without education, they're going to tell you better what to do than these other people. Nor path, nor stand in the path of sinners. So you know that, where are you going? What are you doing? Are you together with sinners? No, sit in the seat of the scornful. That means, you see, look at the attitude that you have when you look at the Word and you look at the, you know, what the Word says. You know, today, lots of ministers, they don't believe the resurrection. To me, those are the scornful. Hello? But He's the light. Is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. Now, you know, a couple of things here I want to stress. We can't cover too much today, but we cover enough to start from next week. Okay, He's talking about the law here. And He's talking about, this is an Old Testament piece of Scripture. So what do you think He's going to talk about? The law. See, the law is the Word for us. All the Word is the law for us. So we delight in the Word of God. We delight to go to the Bible and to read there what He says and to learn His way of thinking and to learn His precepts and His principles and the way to live, because that is the thing that we know it gives us life. So that's the thing. And that, but the other thing I want to stress is, and in His law, His word, put it for yourself, He meditates when? Day and night. You see, He's not going on Sunday at the service and getting into the Word and getting all excited because maybe there is a pastor that gets excited about the Word and then go home and forget about it for a week. You see, I had to be doing that day and night. You know, and sometimes night is even better than day. Because nobody interferes. You know, you can go between sleep and awake, and you are there meditating and thinking about the Scriptures, and they just, by the time, you know, you wake up, they work throughout the whole night. See, but this is not the only Scripture. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says you have to do the same with your children. You walk on the street and you talk to them. You do, you know, you talk to them about the Word and the Lord all the time. I mean, you have to become fixated with the Lord. That's what makes the difference. That's what changes things. Because otherwise, you know, if it's only half the time you meditate on the Word and half the time you meditate on the things of the world, you know, you are. Okay? You're there vacillating. One moment up, one moment out. You have to be there all the time. I mean, you are going to drive the car and you're there meditating. You are going to, you know, wash the dishes. You are meditating. You are going to whatever you do. There has to be really working inside you. This is what brings the operation of the word directing your steps wherever you go. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. See, let me finish this, and we're going to finish so that we don't take too long here. Okay. But he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So you want to know how to overcome, you have to know how to be successful, you have to know how to prosper in everything you do. That's the way. That is the way. It's the only way. When you do that, you understand it. You know, that's the way. You see, the word is life and their spirit. So when the word is working inside you, the spirit is talking to you. And is quickening it to you so that you understand it better, that you can apply better, that you can work it, that it can manifest itself into your life. And that is what gives you the ability of the spirit and not your ability to operate inside you. See, this is the partnership with God that you establish with yourself. You become a partner with God because He is there and you are there. And you walk through life with Him next to you, directing you and empowering your steps. See, Yanghee Cho had the sense, you know, that the Holy Spirit was his senior partner. Okay, I think I like that idea. Okay, he is the senior partner of us in terms of knowing, doing our business, which our business is not our business, it is our Father's business. Hallelujah. You know, people want to hear from God, and they say, well, you know, I can't hear God. And, you know, to me, I don't understand that. You cannot hear God if you don't put the word inside you first, number one. And you cannot hear God if you don't obey the word first. Because you are going to cut off all the things that God is trying to tell you and say, no, that's not. Okay, there has to be obedience and knowledge of the word. See? And then you're going to see the word become a reality in our life, your life. Amen. I think we better terminate here. You're not saying anything. I'm sure you think about it. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything today?
Yes.
Amen. See, this is the thing. That's what makes the difference. This is the walk with God that we have. You know, God is your partner. He's not somebody who's going to try to take away the fun from your life. He's somebody that's going to give all the fun that you can get in it. Because it's the best thing you can do. Amen?
Yes.
All right. So, well, let's close with that. I like to make confessions, so we are going to make a little confession here. All right? Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
I am a believer.
I believe
the word. If you said it,
I believe it,
and it's settled.
I believe your word
that you said,
that
you put your spirit within me. You have adopted me as a son. And if I'm your son, I can call you Daddy. Thank you, Daddy, for everything you've done for me. I love you. And I know that you love me. And as your son, I will grow. I will listen. I will put the word into my heart to guide me, empower me, enable me, and give me victory. I will be meditating on your word and delight in your word, and I will have good success. In Jesus' name, I pray and I believe. Amen.